Welcome to The Practical Spin, a podcast encompassing everything practical and not so practical. A podcast about mindset, decisions, spirituality, and the human element. And now your host, Justin Bailey.
What's going on, everybody? It's Justin Bailey, your host of The Practical Spin. Hope everybody's doing well. You had a great Thanksgiving with your family and friends, and you stayed safe, and everybody is feeling well. Hope everybody's doing well. Today, we're going to be discussing the topic of keeping a positive outlook on life in all aspects. You know, this is a very important topic, you know, as we dive into this. You know, with the holidays, you know, a lot of people tend to get down on themselves. You know, you're going through, you know, a lot of people just have a lot of reasons to get down on themselves. You know, you're going through relationship problems, you're going through family problems. You know, there's just a lot of issues that go on that tend to, you know, just bring you down during the holidays. You start to miss a loved one. You know, you just have all these issues and they just kind of bubble up. And holidays, you know, are supposed to be a cheerful time, and for some people, it's just not so cheerful. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about keeping a positive outlook on life in all aspects, and that's to include the holidays. So hang in there with us, and here we go. We're going to dive into this. All right, so keeping a positive outlook on life in all aspects. You know, due to this whole petrifying nature of events that have occurred over this last year, and basically started in 2019 with this whole COVID-19 pandemic. If you want to call it COVID-20, because it's not just COVID-19. This has covered 2020 as well, and I think it's going to go on into 2021. Unfortunately, you know, hopefully these vaccines, you know, that are being promised and that are being rolled out are actually going to be effective and are going to, you know, flatten this thing out for us. So it's going to be a positive thing, but you know, how are we going to keep a positive attitude? You know, it's been even more difficult than usual, you know, with everything that's been going on. But the question is what exactly is a positive attitude in life? What exactly is a positive attitude in life? You know, does adopting it in your life mean that everything will always move smoothly and that there's not going to be any bumps in the road? No, absolutely not. No. You know, however, it does ensure that any setbacks you might encounter, you know, they're not going to stop you or change your state of mind. It's going to help you to go on, to try again, and, you know, and to do your best. You know, positive thinking isn't about burying any negative thought or emotion you have or avoiding difficult feelings. You know, I mean, the lowest point in our lives are often the ones that motivate us to move on and make positive changes. You know, I'll say that again. The lowest points in our lives are often the ones that motivate us to move on and make positive changes. You know, when you're down and out and you finally pick yourself up off the floor and you're like, I'm going to do something about this, and you tackle a situation head on, that's typically when you're going to make the biggest impact in your life. You know, especially when you set your mind to do something, you know, so what are some of the definitions of, you know, of some of these things? You know, a positive attitude is a state of mind that envisions and expects favorable results. You know, another definition would be, you know, the willingness to try to do new things. You know, that would be something that would be a positive. How about having the belief that everything is going to turn out all right, you know, that's also being optimistic. You know, the difference between being pessimistic and optimistic, it's a mental attitude that sees good and the accomplishments in your life rather than the negative and the failures. Again, pessimistic and optimistic, you know, a positive attitude is the mindset that helps you see and recognize opportunities. If you're, you know, if you have a negative mindset, you're going to miss out on positive opportunities that could be passing you by because you're not looking up, you're looking down. And if you're not looking up, something can go right by you, and you can miss out on the chance of a lifetime and you might not even know it. You know, that's why it's so important to do your best to try to have a positive outlook on life, no matter what situation you're in. And I know that sounds so cliche. You probably heard it from so many people. You know, a positive attitude means positive thinking. positive thinking, if optimism, it's optimism and maintaining that positive optimism, it's a mental attitude that focuses on the bright side of life. These are all positive things. It's a mindset that uses words like I can instead of I can't, and it's possible instead of this is impossible. But it's not just about adopting a certain attitude. Optimists are better problem solvers, than pessimists are, and they're better at accepting bad situations and being able to work through them. Because a pessimist, somebody that's always down on themselves, they hit another bad situation, they're like, woe is me. What do I do now? I'm stuck in the mud. Here I am again. But our worry-filled thoughts can present dangers of our own. Thinking negatively can drag down our moods, our actions. It can even drag down your health. You start to neglect, neglect your hygiene. You start to neglect your eating habits, your personal relationships with people, and that affects your mental health. It affects you in so many ways. Pessimistic people had a nearly 20% higher risk of dying over a 30-year period than those who were optimistic. You won't be able to undo, you're not going to be able to undo years of pessimism and negative thoughts overnight. But with a little bit of practice and a little bit of, trying to do something, trying to do it right, you can learn how to approach things with a more positive outlook. You can do it. You can. You see that difference? I'm spinning that. You can do it. That's being optimistic. You can do it. I'm not telling you you can't. You can do it. So one of the first steps to being positive is actually acknowledging that you're in a difficult place. If you're a negative thinker and you're having a bad outlook on things, one of the first steps to being positive is actually acknowledging to yourself, hey, wait a second. I am thinking this way and I'm being negative. I'm thinking negatively. Acknowledging the place that you're actually in, acknowledging the thought process that you're in, acknowledging, it's like saying, hey, I'm an alcoholic. It's acknowledging that you're an alcoholic first. It's acknowledging that you have a problem first, trying to convince yourself that you're not feeling down can actually make you feel worse. You're trying to pass the buck, so to speak, once you've accepted that something's wrong, once you accept it, you're ready to start addressing it, but you have to accept it first, So let's start looking at some of the side effects of what happens if we consistently have negative thoughts. Let's look at some of the side effects. So, side effects of negative thinking, and many feelings that accompany it, such as pessimism, as we talked about, stress, anger, they can cause some physical symptoms and increase your risk of disease. As I said before, shortening your lifespan, stress, and other negative emotions trigger several, other processes in our body, including stress hormone release, metabolism. It can affect your metabolism, your immune function, which I said again, you're talking about your physical health. Long periods of stress, this has been proven, in scientific studies. I can't give you a reference, but you can look it up, Long periods of stress increase inflammation in your body, which has also been implicated in several serious diseases. I think some of them could be like fibromyalgia, stuff like that. I can't quote a source on that, but I've read that before. I know that to be true in some stuff that I've read in the past. So, I can't quote a source on that, but I know that to be true. I've heard that many times and I've read that before. Some symptoms of stress, that can... symptoms of stress, just typical symptoms of stress are headache, body aches, nausea, fatigue, difficulty sleeping, you have cynicism, stress, anger, hostility, you know, have all been linked to a higher risk of heart disease, heart attack, stroke, dementia. You know, these are all things that link into negative connotational thinking. You know, the mindfulness is the practice of purposely bringing one's attention to experiences occurring in the present moment without judgment, a skill a person develops through meditation or other training. Mindfulness can come in all shapes and sizes. You know, a lot of people have this misconception that they need to be still and have a blank mind to practice mindfulness. They think they have to meditate, you know, or that they have to spend, you know, an exorbitant amount of time on it. You know, instead, you know, positivity seekers, you know, they can build mindfulness moments for themselves throughout the day. You know, I mean, we all look at some things and some of the things that we can do to bring out this mindfulness and prevent ourselves from falling into negativity. What are some solutions for positivity? You know, try to find positivity in everything. You know, you can't control, look at it this way. You can't control what happens to you, but one thing you can control is how you respond to what happens to you or what happens around you. It's up to you to look for the right side in everything and to try to react positively, not negatively. You know, you might be angry about something. Something might happen that makes you angry. And yeah, you're going to be like, well, how am I supposed to act positively to that? Well, some things you can't. You know, it's the human element. We talk about that. The practical spin, it's part of the slogan, the human element. But, you know, for example, if you're waiting for your friend and he's late, you know, and you typically, you know, you start to get angry. Yeah, I should have been here 10 minutes ago. I'm still waiting. We're going to be late to go see this movie, or we're going to be late to go meet up with our other friends, or da 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 da. Don't get angry. You know, rather than get angry, make it an opportunity to develop a patience level. You know, try to work on your patience. You know, sure, send him a text. Try to call him. Figure out where he's at. And just be like, yeah, man, you're running behind. We got to get there. But you can't control where he's at or she's at because they're not there. So there's no use. What's the point of getting angry? You know? I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. You know? I mean, there's so much. I mean, some things will come naturally after some practice. But first, you know, you got to give your wandering brain a little help by consciously selecting something positive to think about. You know, any positive thought will help you to refocus your brain's attention. Really, I mean, when things are going well, your mood's good, right? I mean, that's relatively easy. That's common sense. I mean, if things are going good, you're good. You know. But when things are going poorly, your mind is flooded with negative thoughts. And this could be a challenge for anybody. But in these moments, think about your day and try to identify one positive thing that has happened, no matter how small. I don't care if it's you almost dropped your toothbrush and you caught it and it didn't hit the floor. That's something positive. It might be something that might sound so stupid and small, but that's something that's positive, right? If you can't think of something during the current day, reflect on a previous day or even the previous week. You can find something positive somewhere. Reflect on it and go back to that positive moment. Don't stay in the negative. Go to something positive. You have to leave the negative connotation behind. You have to go to something positive. You know, or, you know, perhaps there's an exciting event you're looking forward to that you can focus your attention on. But you have to get out of the negativity. You have to get out of the negativity. I mean, that's a given. You know, don't always start this right away. Take some time to process thoughts and feelings, you know, as they arise in a situation before you do that. Try to force optimistic thinking. You know, when you're still in emotional turmoil, so to speak, or a bit shocked, you know, so to speak, once you snap yourself out of self-defeating negative thoughts, it's time to help your brain learn what you want it to focus on, which is the positive. That's what you want. You know, the point here is you got to have something positive that you're ready to shift your attention to when your thoughts turn to the negative. That's the whole point of all this. You know, strip the power away from the negative thoughts by separating fact from fiction. You know, replace the negative with the positive. Once you identify something that's a positive thought, draw your attention to that thought or to any other positive thought or something that's, like, again, something that you're looking forward to. Each time you find yourself dwelling on something that's negative, go back to something that's positive. Retrain your brain, basically. You know, this is how you do this. You know, and this is how we can all do this. If you're in a negative place, put yourself in a positive place. No matter how small it is, take your brain out of the negative and put it in the positive. You have to get out of the negative, or you'll sit there and you'll dwell on it. You know, if it proves to be difficult, you can repeat the process by writing down the negative thoughts to discredit their validity, you know, and then allow yourself to freely enjoy the positive thoughts. Write down what the negative stuff is and then draw a line through it. Draw a line through it and be like, it's done. It's over. Boom. Done. You know, write it down and say, okay, here's the negative, and draw a line through it. If writing it down and then drawing a line through it gives you some sort of, you know, makes you feel, you know, gives you some sort of feeling of, you know, like you're getting rid of it. You know, if that helps, you know, certain people are visual, you know, maybe you need to write down the negative, draw a line through it, and then write the positive underneath of it. And then you look up and you see the negative with the line through it. And then you look down and you see the positive, and you're like, ah, the negative's got a line through it, but I see the positive right there and doesn't have a line through it. I can reflect on that. That looks better. That's something to think about. You know, try to avoid those negative thoughts. So, you know, the first step, you know, and learning to focus on positive, you know, requires knowing how to stop negative self-talk in its tracks. You know, the more you ruminate on negative thoughts, the more power you give them. Most of our negative thoughts are just that. They're thoughts. They're not facts. You know, when you find yourself believing the negative and the pessimistic things of your inner voice saying it's time to stop, and write them down. Literally stop what you're doing and write down what you're thinking. Once you've taken a moment to slow down, the negative momentum of your thoughts will be more rational and clear-headed in evaluating themselves. You know, evaluate the statements to see if they're actually factual. You can bet that these statements aren't true almost every time you write these words down. Anytime you see these words, like never, always, worst, ever, etc. Never, always, worst, ever. These words aren't factual. They're not factual. Then another thing you got to do is you got to ask yourself, you know, if the issue is really worth your energy. Is it really worth your energy? You know, sometimes we get mad about stuff that isn't worth our time. It's not worth our energy. You know, will the issue matter in a year, for example? Tell yourself you'll worry about it at a specific time later. You know what I mean? Chances are you'll feel better by the appointed time. Instead of just spinning your worry wheels, try and concentrate problem-solving exercise. Change unhealthy self-talk. You know, you may have been running negative messages in your head for a long time, but research shows that you can shift your thoughts and that over time, you can literally change your brain. Literally. You know, consider trying like some techniques from cognitive behavioral therapy, which has worked wonders and the VA for soldiers and military people coming back with post-traumatic stress disorder from the wars. I'll attest to that. I'm here raising my hand. You know, it works by looking at how you change your thoughts, and it can change your life. You know, some tips include, like, you know, when you're talking about cognitive behavioral therapy, you know, asking yourself if your negative thoughts are really true. Are you really a terrible mother or father if you didn't make it to class? Are you really a terrible mother or father if you didn't get your kid to the class play? You know, remember any achievements that disapprove your insecurity. You know, if you think you'll flip-flop at the office party, remember other social occasions when you were outgoing and confident. What changed? Why did they change? And why should they be any different now? You know, for example, do you really always lose your keys? Of course not. Perhaps you forget them frequently. I mean, heck, I do. But most days, do you remember them? You know where they're at. Or you find them. You're like, oh, yeah, that's where I put them down. Are you never going to find a solution to your problem? Are you? Ask yourself that. Are you never going to find a solution to your problem? I mean, if you're really that stuck, maybe you've been resisting asking for help, or maybe you've been resisting trying to find help or trying to find a fix to the problem. Or if it really is an intractable problem, then why are you wasting your time beating your head against the wall? You know, if your statements still look like facts once they're on the paper, take them to a friend, take them to a colleague, take them to a family member, somebody you can trust, and see if he or she agrees with you. Then the truth will surely come out. Imagine what you'd tell a friend if they were worrying in the ways that you are. You'd likely convince them to wait a bit before assuming the worst, right? I mean, disappointing your girlfriend or your boyfriend once doesn't mean you're doomed to disappoint them all the time, or your husband or your wife or whatever. You know, consider alternative explanations. You know, if your boss hasn't responded to your proposal, it could be because he's busy and not because he doesn't like it. You know, we get wrapped up in these thoughts. We start assuming things, then we start beating ourselves up over it. It happens all the time. I do it too, guys. You know, I can, when I started taking notes on this and I started reading some of this stuff, I'm like, man, this is taking me back to some of that cognitive behavioral therapy that I went through after my PTSD when I suffered from Iraq, you know. But, you know, when it feels like something always or never happens, this is just your brain's natural threat tendency inflating and perceived frequency or severity of an event. Identifying and labeling your thoughts as thoughts by separating them from the facts will help you escape the cycle of negativity and move toward a positive new outlook. You know, I mean, it's a vicious cycle, but you have to be able to break it. But you have to be willing and wanting to be able to break it. It's very similar to addiction. Very similar to addiction. You know, and people want to play it out and say, it's nothing like addiction. No, it is. It is. And people would say, well, you've never been an addict. It doesn't matter. I understand it. You know, I was a military police officer. I dealt with addicts. I dealt with people. I've had addicts in my family. I've had, you know, let's put it this way. Just because I wasn't an addict doesn't mean that I've never experienced or been around them. And I don't know what they don't. It doesn't mean that I don't know what they go through. It does. Just because you're not an addict doesn't mean you don't understand something. So back on course, you know, you've got to always be grateful. You know, it's impossible to feel depressed in life if you have so many things to be grateful for. Well, I digress. It's not impossible, because some people can have everything in the world and feel depressed. You can have all the money in the world and still be depressed. But no matter how inferior things may turn out, you got to realize that we all still have things in our life that most people on earth don't even have. You know, and I take this back to when I was in Iraq, you know, when, you know, I often reflect back, you know, and I'm like, man, it's hot in here or whatever in the house, or, you know, it's just, it's a little warm in here. And, you know, I'm already in shorts and a t-shirt. It's not like I can get naked in my parents' house or something. You know, not that I live in my parents' house. I'm just giving an example. But, you know, I'm like, it's hot in here, man. And, you know, it's like, this sucks, or, you know, whatever the case would be. But I have to digress, and I think back, and I'm like, wow, you know, when I was in Iraq, it was, you know, 120-some degrees, and this is what these people live in. They don't have air conditioning. This is their lives. They live in houses that are built with mud and bricks that have no water, and, you know, and this is what they deal with on a daily life. And they wear these big long dresses, and, you know, this is, you know, there is no 24-hour Walmart. There is not right now because of COVID, but there is no 24-hour Walmart. There is no, hey, I woke up at 2:00 in the morning tonight and I feel like just driving out to Walmart because I'm bored and I can't go back to sleep. There is none of that. We have to learn to be grateful for what we have. You know, the research found that research has found that your brain always focuses on the negative elements of life, you know, like tragedies, failures, worries, etc. That's why we need to focus more on the good things. So to do so, you know, we should make a gratitude list, really, and read it whenever you get a chance. You know, it'll attract more blessings in yourself and more blessings in your life, and it'll make you feel a lot better in your life. In fact, after I'm done doing this podcast, I need to write my gratitude list because I haven't done it yet. But from a scientific point of view, it reduces stress hormone cortisol by 23%. 23%. Research conducted at the University of California, Davis, found that people who worked daily to cultivate an attitude of gratitude, experienced improved mood, energy, and substantially less anxiety due to lower cortisol levels. A very simple and quick way to boost the positive energy in your life is to tap into gratitude. Be thankful for what you have by asking one or more of these questions. What can I be grateful in my life today? Who are three people that I could be grateful to have in my life, and why? What are three things I can be grateful for about myself? Just spend 60 seconds, just spend 60 seconds or a few minutes during your day by answering one of those three questions, or make up your own questions that are similar or something, you know, that, and reap the wonderful benefits of answering those questions yourselves, or writing them down and then seeing those answers written out on paper and seeing what it is to be grateful for. You know, you can also write a gratitude letter, you know, researcher Martin Seligman, PhD, asked students to write a letter thanking someone who has been particularly kind to them, and then deliver it to that person in person. The letter writers enjoyed impressive positive effects even a month later. You know, another way is to keep a gratitude journal. Some people do this. A lot of people don't journal anymore. You know, what happened to the old school, you know, keeping a journal? You know, it seems like it's becoming a forgotten age, but a lot of people don't journal anymore. Another way is to keep a gratitude journal. Write down anything large or small that makes you smile, including terrific achievements, touching moments, and great relationships. You cultivate an attitude of gratitude by taking time out of every day to focus on the positive. anytime you experience negative or pessimistic thoughts, use this as a cue to shift gears and think about something positive. In time, positive attitude will become a way of life. Again, when you're in the negative, when your mind is shifted, when you're focused in on the negative and you can't get out of the negative, or you're trying to get out of the negative, or you're sold in the negative, try to go to the positive. If you can't mentally switch gears, take it on a piece of paper and force yourself to switch gears. Write down that negative, draw a line through it, and write down that positive and force yourself to read the positive. Make your mind go from the negative to the positive. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. And we're going to keep going into this, guys. We'll be right back.
Psst. You. Yeah, you. Are you enjoying the show? Make sure you never miss an episode of The Practical Spin by clicking the subscribe button right now. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Now, let's get back to the show.
All right, guys, we're back. So we're talking about ways to get out of this negative connotation of thought and how to be positive and how to get out of that negative web. So another way that we can talk about to get out of the negative thoughts and get it into a positive place, a positive thought process, is to create a positive environment the best way you can. And I know sometimes that can be hard given your circumstances or where you are, where you live, who you live with, or, you know, whatever the situation is. But do your best to create a positive environment, even if you have to leave the environment you're in to go to another environment as a retreat, so to speak. Maybe you got to walk down the road. Maybe you got to go to a place in the woods, you know, whatever. And I'm not saying run away from home. You know, if any kids are listening or whatever, I'm just saying if you've got to go to a place to find some, you know, some solitude and get some peace and quiet, so to speak, but create a positive environment for yourself. If you want to feel positive, it pays to decrease the downers in your life. You know, with practice, you can resist worrisome thoughts, you know, and you can perhaps even transform your internal critic, basically, you know, into more of like a cheering squad, basically. You know, focusing on negatives isn't just unpleasant. You know, it doesn't just suck. It can also make it can make you less effective at tackling tasks you face. You know, doing things that you need to do and you need to accomplish on a daily basis, whether it be work, your school, you know, whatever. You're handling your relationships, you know. In a study of test takers, those who fixated on worrisome thoughts performed worse than those who were distracted from their worries. You know, negativity and positivity are contagious. You know, consider the people with that you're spending time with. Have you noticed how someone that's in a bad mood can bring down almost everyone in the room? Being around positive people has been shown to improve self-esteem and increase your chances of reaching your goals. Surround yourself with people who will lift you up and help you see the brighter side of your life. You know, and I know some of you are like, wow, do your best. That's all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you. Try to put yourself in situations where you can do that. You know, consider yourself with people who will, you know, support you and lift you up instead of dragging you down. You know, that's, you know, and you can say, well, I live with these people and this is what's dragging me down. I understand that. You know, that's not, you know, it's not like you could just run away. You know, you have to live, you have to eat, you have to, you know, you can't just be homeless, but, you know, maybe you can go to church. You could join a club, you know, like a, you know, if you're a veteran, you could join a VFW or an American Legion or, you know, you could join something, you could do something, you could go somewhere, some kind of event, something that happens, you know, on a weekly basis or something. You could volunteer somewhere, you know, if you have the time to do so, where you're surrounded with other positive people who are doing positive things. You know, these are all things that can be considered and done, you know, if it's possible in your life. You know, I mean, you could also spend time, you know, reading positive books, watching positive movies, listening to positive music or uplifting music. You know, who you choose to spend your time with and the input you get from further away from things like negative stuff on TV and the internet and magazines and stuff will have a huge effect on your outlook on life. And that's just the truth. I mean, you can ask anybody. I think you could ask a child that and they would tell you that. You know, to be able to stay positive, you know, it's essential to have influences in your life that support you and lift you up instead of drag you down. You know, another big thing to staying positive, and also, of course, you always hear this too, is to staying healthy is to keep yourself active physically. I'm not saying go out and run 4 miles a day or whatever. You don't have to be in the army, you know, or whatever. But, you know, do some exercise. Go for a walk. Enjoy nature. Go for a walk. Put some headphones on. Listen to some cool music. You know, listen to a podcast. Listen to The Practical Spin while you go for a walk. You know, enjoy nature. Take things in. You know, keep yourself active. You know, you have to improve gradually. It's very easy to lose your perspective, especially if you're stressed and you're going too fast. You know, write about positive future. An idea is to envision your goals and dreams that could come true. You know, envision them, see them coming true. You know, you can write about a great future life. Writing helps you absorb ideas better than just thinking, because you actually see them. Set aside time so you can go into detail. Researcher Laura King, PhD, provided this exercise as a great mood booster and assigned 20 minutes on 4 consecutive days to her students to do this. You know, and it was a great success for her class. You know, a common mistake people make when making a shift in their attitudes is that they think that they have been perfect to do things perfectly all the time. They think that just because this is how I've done it my whole life, this is how I'm supposed to continue to do it. Well, this is how I've done it for the last 10 years and it's always worked. Well, just because that's how you've done it for 10 years and it's always worked doesn't mean that that's how it should still be done. You know, this traps some people from being positive. It traps and it stunts development. But if you set an inhuman standard for yourself and you think you have to go from being a pessimist to always being an optimist, then you're going to find it hard to live up to that. So you may say you feel like a failure. You get angry with yourself. And you may end up giving up on changing this habit and fall back into the negative thinking. So instead, focus on gradual change. If you're optimistic 40% of the time right now, try to improve this to be optimistic 60% of the time. Then increase that to 80% when you're used to the new standard. Then subsequently 100% if you can. You know, this focus on gradual improvement is far more sustainable and likely to bring long-term success than trying to reach an inhuman standard grounded in perfection, which is impossible. You know, there's only one person that ever walked this earth that was perfect, and that was Jesus Christ. And we can never live up to that perfection. So we're supposed to strive for that, but we have to understand that it's not going to happen. You know, another big thing is avoid materialism. People get wrapped up in materialistic things. You know, research done by Thomas Golovic, a psychologist out of Cornell University, shows that it is healthy for our brain to treasure a memorable and pleasant experience rather than material things. Comparing possessions and look at better objects after purchase can be demoralizing and ruin the initial pleasure. But treasuring experience does not affect the initial pleasure. Rather, they provide long-lasting happiness, he says. That's powerful, right? So if you really, 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 really wanted a set of, I don't know, let's say you really, really wanted a set of Bose headphones, and you had the opportunity to get that set of Bose headphones, or you had an opportunity to go with some family and friends to Six Flags for the day. And let's say you did both. You got the Bose headphones. You had the Bose headphones for a year. And a year later, you're putting them on and you're like, oh, well, there's some new ones out and I really want the new ones now. Da 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 da. And you're just dwelling on that now. But the day after you got those Bose headphones, you also went to Six Flags and you had a blast. You had so much fun. Oh, remember that time? Remember that face you made when we made that, when we rode that roller coaster? Oh, remember when such and such almost fell? And remember we were doing this and we were playing this game and we almost had it and you won. Oh, and then you did actually hit that. You did actually put the ball in the basket and you did actually win that stuffed animal. And that ride, oh, that ride was so crazy. It spun around so many times. And oh, remember when you didn't take your hat off? They told you you should probably take it off. You said, no, I'll be okay. And you lost your hat. It fell off. Oh, it was so funny. Those moments last forever. Forever. But those Bose headphones a year later, they're just sitting there. Yeah, you still use them, but you want the new ones now. But those memories of Six Flags a year ago, they make you smile from ear to ear. But those Bose headphones that you got a year ago, they don't. They make you want the next newest thing. Materialistic things don't make you any happier than experiencing long-lasting happiness through memorable experiences. You know, you should also, another thing you should try to do is engage in soothing activities. You know, and this is something that I do. You know, I listen to a wide range of music personally. I listen to pretty much everything. And, you know, sometimes I really like to enjoy and it relaxes me. I really enjoy listening to Frank Sinatra. And, you know, you would look at me and you would see me in my daily life and you would probably never judge me or consider me to be a Frank Sinatra fan. But there's nights where I just want to kick back in a low lit room. I want to put some noise canceling headphones on. Or if I'm alone, just turn up the stereo or turn up the speaker, prop my feet up, have a cup of coffee, and just sit back, lean back in a recliner or in a nice chair, whatever I got, whatever I can have, get my hands on to make it the most enjoyable experience it can be. And I just want to listen to some Frank Sinatra. That's all I want to do. I just want to relax. It's like a zone. It's a soothing activity for me, you know, almost like a guy that likes to kick back with his whiskey and his cigar, you know, you know, or a lady that likes to sit back and knit or crochet or, you know, watch the Hallmark Channel. no, I'm not, uh, I'm not, uh, I'm not classifying or labeling or anything. I know there's a lot of guys that like the Carmack channel too, but it's not for me. Let's put it that way. I can't get into it. Yeah, but it's important. It's important to do activities that can be relaxing and allow you to momentarily get your mind off of whatever difficult time you're going through. You know, participating in an activity that comforts you, you know, like the ones I just talked about, you know, can be more than just an hour of recreation, but it can allow you to gain perspective and recenter yourself, you know. Meditation and some of those things can be a form of meditation, you know, can improve your focus, attention, clarity. It helps keep your mind calm, you know. It keeps you from getting stressed out, keeps you happy in the long run. It's beneficial for both the body and the mind. And really, that's what we're focused on here in this podcast episode is the mind. You know, according to Harvard researcher Matt Killingsworth, a wandering mind will not make us happy. Meditation helps you concentrate and pay attention to the present and accept it without judging. It is useful in forgetting about the past and not worry about the future. You know, there's another big thing too, and that's sleep. You know, you know, when you get depressed and you're down about stuff, you know, sometimes a lot of people retreat to their bed. They want to sleep because that turns the switch off. It's an escape, right? You're asleep, so you're not thinking about it. You're not in pain. You're not feeling the discomfort of it or whatever the case may be. But you can't just stay in bed. That's not healthy, you know. But when you don't get enough sleep, negativity takes over your mind. Your body needs to recover from the day before stress. You know, there are tons of natural remedies to help you get better sleep. You know, sleep helps your mind stay focused, be productive, and happier. People who get good sleep tend to feel less angry and stressed. You know, in research, it showed, you know, and showed that the hippocampus, it's a part of the brain. It processes positive and happy thoughts. When we don't get enough sleep, this function starts to creak and starts developing more negative thoughts than before. You know, but when you oversleep, you're killing yourself more than anything. You know, you're not eating right, you're not socializing. I mean, there's so many negative things that go into, not getting out of bed and just staying in bed all the time, you know. So but another thing, you know, as we get towards the end here, you know, you always have to accept and find solutions. Accept and find solutions. You know, most people are repellent, right? You know, they can't accept change in their life. They can't accept change in their life. In the military, you know, we change all the time. You know, I can accept change on a dime if I have to. You know, but a lot of people can't accept change in their life. A lot of people feel like they have to learn to accept. Well, a lot of people have to learn to accept that change is going to happen. You know, we continually go through changes in life because that's how life is meant to be. You know, you can experience the worst phase of your life, but you should look for the positive aspect and find a solution to your problem in that change. When you train your brain for staying positive in all these situations, even tragedy can't destroy you. And I speak from the truth. I'm a witness to that. And I'm not going to go on my spiel here because it's not the time or place, and I can't. But tragedy cannot destroy you. God will not give you more than you can handle, even when you think he is. And I'm speaking from experience. So right now I'm speaking from the heart to you guys, and that touches me a little bit. And anyway, but what we must learn to do is accept that change will happen. You know, haven't you heard that the only constant in life is change? There's a lot of truth to that. as we continually go through changes, whether good or bad, accepting that changes are part of life can help us to relax and be more accepting as long as you accept the change. Try to look for the positive aspect. For example, if you're in a bad job situation, what do you do? Accept it and try to make it better? Possibly. Or maybe this is the chance to make a change for yourself and look for a job that you really want. You know, we tend to be the hardest on ourselves and be our own worst critics, right? You know, it seems like over time, this can cause us to go from one negative opinion of ourselves that can be so hard to shake, right? You know, to stop this, you know, we need to be mindful of the voice in our own heads and respond with positive messages. As we talked about through this whole thing, right? You know, positive self-talk. You know, your research shows that even a small shift in the way you talk to yourself can influence your ability to regulate your feelings, thoughts, and behavior under stress. So here's an example of positive self-talk. Instead of thinking, I really messed that up, try. Instead of saying, I really messed it up, try. I'll try it again in a different way. So instead of saying, man, I really screwed that up. Really messed that one up. Guess I really screwed that up. Instead of saying that, say, well, I think I'll try that again, but I'll try it in a different way. Positive self-talk. How about this? Don't let vague fears hold you back from doing what you want to do. You know, sometimes you may want to take a chance in life, right? Start a new habit that feels unfamiliar. Your own business on the side. Or maybe you want to ask somebody out on a date. You know, a common trap when you want to do one of those things is get lost in vague fears about what could happen if you actually took action. And so the mind, what does it do? It runs wild, fueled by fear, and it creates a nightmare scenarios and plenty of self-doubts. You know, a person should always consider what's the worst that could happen, right? You know, when I have that figured out, I also spend a little bit of time trying to figure out what I could do if that often a pretty unlikely thing happens. You know, what's the worst that can happen? You know, my dad used to always tell me, he's like, you know, hey, go and ask the guy. What's the worst he could say? No. One of the most common fears in life, especially in our day and age, is the fear of criticism, because everybody's so critical. You know, it can hold people back from doing what they want to do in life, because having negativity flowing out of someone's mouth or email or text message or social media or whatever, and it being about you, can hurt if you let it. And being rejected can sting quite a bit. But if you want to take action on what you deep down want, then criticism is pretty much unavoidable. You're going to be criticized. Somebody's going to listen to this podcast and be like, wow, this dude's talking out of his butt. He doesn't know a word about what he's talking about. I'm going to get criticized. So the key is learning to handle it more healthily, right? By doing so, your fear will lessen. It'll hurt less if you do get criticized. You know, try to remain open and level-headed and figure out how to manage, you know, a message of criticism and turn it into constructive criticism, even if the person didn't mean it to be constructive. You know, ask yourself, is there one thing I can learn from this criticism? Is there something that I may not want to hear but could help me? If the criticism is brash and demeaning, then just try to be understanding or just brush it off. You know, you could think of how the person you could think how the person could just be having a bad day, or respond to the person. If the person that's criticizing you still persists in the same manner, then distance yourself from the comments and let the situation go. Be the bigger person. Feel good about it. Me personally, I just choose not to engage. You know. But in all truthfulness, you know, you guys know I'm not a doctor. So, you know, in closing here, if it comes to it, and let's hope that it doesn't, but even after following all the steps that we discussed here, if you're still feeling consumed by negative thoughts, or you're having trouble controlling your emotions, see a doctor. See a doctor. You may benefit from medical help, such as positive psychological therapy. Persistent negative thoughts can be caused by an underlying psychiatric condition that requires treatment. And there's nothing wrong with that. Admitting or finding or looking and seeking for help does not make you a weaker person. Treating these negative thoughts and these problems can cause wonders. You know, a recent study followed 70,000 women from 2004 to 2012 and found that those who were optimistic had a significantly lower risk of dying from several major causes of death, including heart disease, stroke, cancer, including breast, ovarian, lung, infection, respiratory diseases. Other proven benefits of thinking positively include better quality of life, higher energy levels, better psychological and physical health, faster recovery from injuries or illness, fewer colds, you know, colds, not COVID, colds. You know, people can still get colds nowadays and not have COVID. Lower rates of depression, better stress management, coping skills, and a longer lifespan. You know, so I mean, if you really think that, you know, some people have chemical imbalances in their brain, that's not your fault. That's not your fault. If you're having real trouble coping and you just can't get over the hump, seek medical help. You know, get some help. Reach out. Go see somebody. Go talk to somebody. Talk to a medical professional. You know, so, you know, basically in closing, you know, if you think that there are a lot of problems and responsibilities in your life and it's too impractical to stay positive all the time, think again. It's never too late to live a positive and happy life. It's never too late. A sure way to feel more negative about a situation is to sit around and do nothing about it. How about that, huh? Instead, use the things that I shared in this episode and try to apply it and see if it helps. If you have trouble getting started with taking action, ask yourself, what is one small step I can take today to get the ball rolling? Then take that small step forward. However small the step is, it can have a big effect on your mood and your thoughts. Staying positive when times are tough is easier said than done, guys. You may find yourself spiraling into negative self-talk patterns or unable to think of good things that are happening in your life. However, learning to be positive, especially during those difficult times, can help you mentally and physically. More tragic changes, such as death, will throw us off even worse. But when our brains are practiced on how to stay positive in negative situations, even tragedy won't destroy us. With the power of positive thinking, we can learn to put negative situations in perspective and to deal with them as they arise. So guys, you know, try to stay positive. When you find yourself surrounded and encompassed by those negative thoughts, go to that positive place. Go to that positive place. If you can't get yourself out of it, write it down. write it down, put a line through it, and write something positive, whether it was today, yesterday, last week, last month, last year. I don't care. Find something positive and write it down. Make that the reflection. Make that the reflection. Guys, I hope this episode's been helpful. I hope it's been beneficial for you guys. And I apologize that I was a little late getting out with another episode, but I'll try to be back on time for the next one. And thanks for listening, and I'll catch you on the next episode. Peace and love.
Thanks for joining us this week on The Practical Spin. Make sure to visit our website at thepracticalspin.com, where you can subscribe to the show in pretty much any format, so you'll never miss an episode. This has been The Practical Spin Podcast, encompassing everything practical and not so practical.